Everyone can agree that smartphones are now ubiquitous, with most people going with either an Apple with iOS or Samsung, which use Android. All of these phones rely on GPS and Wi-Fi signals so that they can do what they do best. But what happens when these signals disappear when your phone is trying to figure out where it is, even in a suburban street? Joining me on the line to discuss this very modern phenomenon is UTS fellow and technology consultant Rob Livingston. Nice of you to join me.
It's a pleasure.
Now, first of all, Rob, how do mobile devices pick up a Wi-Fi signal based on geography?
Well, basically, the Wi-Fi network is provided essentially via a network of routers or small transmitters. So we're all familiar with the Wi-Fi at home. We've got a router sitting at home with a little antenna on it, and essentially that radiates a signal out that you can pick up in your home Wi-Fi. Out in the real world, as it were, there are Wi-Fi routers located at different locations, and these are triangulated because the location is known with accuracy, and the distance between one or two of these points is known with reasonable accuracy. The other thing as well is when the smartphones are able to also triangulate. Instead of the Wi-Fi, also the signals coming from the mobile carriers, our national mobile carriers, they're able to triangulate all of that information together with a reasonably high degree of accuracy.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you heard, but there's a house in Atlanta which is one of the few internet access points within a particular area, I think along a mile-long stretch of road. Why would phone tracking apps all point to one particular location?
Well, if you're in an environment which has got a very limited number of access points, and you're not able to, or the technology is not able to triangulate multiple points to get the right sort of pinpoint accuracy, it does an approximation. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. But do go on.
It's a little bit like if you are on, say, Google Maps sometimes on your phone, depending which software you're using, it might put a bit of a grey circle around it. Essentially, that gives the probability of accuracy, the accuracy of your particular phone handset within a certain distance, radius.
How accurate would you say that this is?
Well, it does vary. It varies on how many signals it can pick up, and also the degree of coverage. Obviously, if you've got a very out in a very sparse area in the sort of a country where there might only be one or two, the error of triangulation could well be a bit higher than if you're in a high-density area in the city where there are multiple points.
Okay. Well, would you be able to describe to us what the notion of a digital desert is?
Well, a digital desert is basically where you cannot get, Wi-Fi or mobile coverage. So the issue of the digital desert is that more and more we're expected to lead our lives via our smartphones, internet banking, shopping, sending and receiving emails, etc. But there are locations clearly where the signals drop off. You're in a valley, in the country, or even in some suburban areas. There are little areas where there is insufficient coverage for a range of reasons. And essentially, you're in a really black hole as far as connectivity to the internet is concerned. You don't see the internet.
Sure, but it's more than just the internet, though. I mean, it's also
correct.
Regular telephony.
Correct.
Yeah,
absolutely. The tried and proven method of getting telephones is the good old fashioned copper network. I mean, that's where it was point to point, and you're either connected or you weren't. When you're dealing with base stations, which might be some distance away, how effective that range is subject to where you happen to be. If you're on the fringe of that, you're just going to be having a very low signal strength or none at all.
Fair enough. Well, because we rely on the internet so much these days, how do you think the digital deserts could be considered a hindrance?
Well, if you are, we all are increasingly transacting our lives, electronically, as I said, like internet banking, paying bills, looking up information. Some employers have got a work from home policy, which means that if the type of work that you're doing lends itself to you working remotely via internet connection on a PC at home, for example, through a VPN or a secure network, then if you're not able to do that because you're in an area which is not serviced by the internet, then that's clearly a problem.
So, Rob, what do you think could be done in the future to improve wireless signal penetration and the reliability of these kinds of phone tracking apps?
Well, it boils down to the investment in infrastructure, because if there are black holes and points where the coverage is non-existent or poor, it boils down to telcos and or governments regulating coverage standards in areas, and the infrastructure being invested deployed to produce that net minimum standard of coverage. The real issue is it boils down to the economics of the last mile, as it were, or the last two or three subscribers or users. If one has to put in a significant amount of infrastructure to capture the last two people at the end of the road, as it were, that marginal cost could be prohibitive, and that's what any utility provider struggles with in remote, regional, or other areas that are similarly affected.
Well, thank you for your time, Robin. It was a very insightful talk.
It's a pleasure.
All right, have a good day.
All the best.
Thank you. That was Rob Livingstone, UTS fellow and technology consultant, discussing the idea of digital black holes and how it can affect society and, I guess, in an economic sense as well.